be a brief discussion period at this point, and of course your written questions are most cordially invited. At the outset, I'd like to express my admiration to Dizzy Gillespie and his quintet for their fine work this evening. But in addition to the musical portion of the program, we have the rare opportunity of asking Dizzy about his brilliant and colorful career. While waiting for your questions to be collected, I'll begin by asking some of my own. John Berks Gillespie, the name sounds familiar.
Sort of.
I'd like to ask a personal question. I've always wondered, when did you first acquire the name Dizzy? Were there any special circumstances that prompted that name?
I was first called Dizzy in Philadelphia. This was in 1935 when I first moved from South Carolina. When I first escaped from South Carolina. the name first was that Dizzy Trumpet Player.
Incidentally, Dizzy, when did you first come to New York?
To stay.
When you made started to make your professional reputation.
In 1937.
In 1937.
I was a baby.
Baby, you must have been about 4 years old. Another question that has always been something that I've wanted to ask you, and it is one. that is indeed indicative of my admiration for your work, and that is the consistency and the vitality of your trumpet playing, particularly since there are times when you play night after night after night at various engagements. And I was wondering if there's any particular schedule that you follow that helps to keep you so creatively alert.
I could answer that question in the words of Louis Armstrong, since we're in the Museum of Modern Art. I'm going to answer that. For one thing is trying to stay fairly healthy, which is quite a.
This will be a brief discussion for me.
Which is quite a problem, traveling all over the road, eating the right food, and keeping regular and things like that. Regular hours. It's quite a toss.
Well, at any rate, obviously you've succeeded very, very well. I see there are many questions. I'll have to have some time to look through them. Dizzy, I'd like to ask a question or two or more of my own. Are there any special plans or any special things that are coming up in the near future that you care to tell us about?
Yes. We have a concert coming up at Carnegie Hall where we will, on midnight, March the 4th, where we will use a complete group of our. First, we use our quintet, backed up by four trumpets, four trombones, four French horns, bass, tuba, and three Latin drummers. This is MGM is sponsoring this concert. It's supposed to be something.
I'm sure that will be something. Will there be any particular works featured?
Yes, we will do. We will do a composition first by our very talented pianist, Lalo Schifrin, who is a native of the Argentine, which he calls Gillespiana. The Gillespiana Suite. That's one of the things we will do. And he has written a work in three movements on Night in Tunisia, which we will call Tunisian fantasy. He's better with English than I am. And also we will do an arrangement with the big band for Kush, the number that you just heard this evening. And we will do, also we will use Joe Carroll.
Oh, as a vocalist.
Yes, as a vocalist, to sort of reminisce about some of the earlier tunes like Ku Papa Da and Ouya Ku, you know, foreign language tunes.
And you say the entire concert will be recorded by MGM?
Yes, it will.
Fine. Well, now to start with the first question. Dizzy, did you make your reputation in New York at the jazz sessions at Mittens in Harlem?
Well, no, I don't think it was there. It was actually on 52nd Street when I had first had a letter on 52nd Street before they tore it down. the big blow. But the early development of my style was at Mittens.
You would say that your playing at Mittens was important in the development of your style.
It was of the utmost importance. Uh-huh.
I've always heard that you frequently had trumpet battles with Roy Eldridge at Mittens. Is that true?
Well, it wasn't such a battle because I came so unarmed. It was sort of a slaughter. we had quite a time there, but it was the same time where three of us would grab Roy Eldridge, like little Benny Harris, mm-hmm. and Bobby Moore, who was a trumpeter, and Joe Guy, and Charlie Shavers. Five of us would grab him, see?
Uh-huh.
So we would play 8 bars apiece and 8 bars apiece and go around like that, and we would never get tired.
And Roy Eldridge still held his own against
the Yes,
five.
He did. He was the iron chops.
Would you say that Roy was your most important influence in developing your own style?
Early.
Well, yes.
Early, but I think the most important, the one who contributed most to me was, I think, was Charlie Parker, mm-hmm. my close association with him. Playing with Roy Eldridge, it was always two trumpets playing together. It was something else. But Charlie Parker always brought out the best, the best, absolute best in me. I don't know. It was just, I guess, had that. It was just like one time he said, he wrote me a little note. He says, two hearts as one, beating as one. And I believe that. No, I was all the time back together.
Well, there's no question but that musically there was a strong affinity between Charlie Parker's work and your own. I was wondering, on a non-musical basis, were you close friends?
Oh, very close.
Very close friends.
Yes.
The next question also concerns your trumpet playing and style in particular. And the question asks, has your trumpet style changed very much since your bop days about 20 years ago?
It changes daily.
And a question appropriate, inasmuch as you and Charlie Parker were responsible for such a radical change in jazz with the advent of bop, and the question asks, is jazz undergoing as radical a change at present as it did when you and Charlie Parker first revolted against swing? And I'd ask, please comment.
Well, there are no more hordes of saxophone players who are copying any one. I think Charlie Parker, it'd be a long, long, long time before anyone has such a profound, and I don't know why you say it. I'm not too very good at English.
You're doing very well, then.
But it'll be quite some time before another era in music will change in music will be do that, because most of the modern guys now, there's not too much really new things going around. One guy in particular, I don't know how many guys it would be. I would hate to be an alto saxophonist to try to copy his style, which is on that chord. Yes. Thank you. Now, what he will contribute later, none of us know at the moment. I don't guess he knows at the moment. But how profound the contribution will be. I don't think you can see that right now because he seems to be in the sort of the embryonic stage of his own development. And I'm not one to put one down because I can remember when they said that we were playing Chinese music.
Yes.
anything that's different, I'm reluctant to put down because the guy, he might have something that's very, very, very good that was everybody, and then they would say, see, mm-hmm. Where are your ears? Maybe I should have seen it before. But I've been listening to him, and maybe he might be the new famous one. Mm-hmm.
There have been several questions that are concerned with the shape of your trumpet, Dizzy. Is it strictly a question of showmanship, or?
No. One of the reasons that I have it this way, all of my life I played it, mostly, except for the last 4 or 5 years, the straight trumpet. So the notes that you play out of a straight trumpet, you hear them so late sometimes because they are here and gone. And the notes go straight out and you don't hear them. And sometimes you don't hear it at all because you just play it goes away. But now, but this instrument, I lucked up on this too. I was giving a birthday party for my wife at a place called Snickers on 45th Street. And I had to go to a pair of disc jockey show, and I left my horn on one of those stands. And two comedians were on the stage, and they were cutting food. And so when I got back, before I got back, one of the comedians had pushed the other guy over my horn, and instead of the horn falling down like part of my horn would do, it stood there and danced. So when I got back, the bell was... So Illinois Jacket was there that night, so it was funny that, I don't want to be nasty. So I played it that way, and I like the way, I like the way the sound comes from there. So of course, Illinois Jacket left. He said, "I don't want to be back when he gets back."
Incidentally, do you know the name of the person responsible for bending your horn? Have you given him credit for designing it?
Yes, it was Stump and Stumpy.
Stump and Stumpy. Yes.
So I'm very grateful to them for breaking up my home.
Dizzy, I believe when you last had your big band, you went on a tour for the State Department. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, the next question asks, are you taking another big band tour for the State Department? Or, let us paraphrase that, will you be taking a tour for the State Department, whether with the big band or with the smaller group?
It's not in the near future. We expect to go out of the country, but we'll be going for money.
The hour's getting late, and perhaps just another one or two questions will do it, although we probably could go on all night. Dizzy, this question... this question concerns your puffed-out cheeks, and they want to know... Do your puffed-out cheeks while playing help you to store additional air and enable you to play long passages without pausing for breath?
Well, one thing about that I found out, you can. I think it is something to that. I can play Well, sometimes somebody can play for maybe 2 minutes without taking a breath.
Yes, I know.
But holding one note, not playing all over the instrument, but holding one note, because it's very difficult to sing it and breathe in and keep air at the same time. But when I was over in Pakistan for the government, I saw one of those. I played with a snake charmer one day. And,
oh, boy.
I was charming the snake along with that. And I noticed his jaws going like a... And the note never broke. It just... I said, oh, maybe that could happen because for the fact that I bring out my cheeks, I could do it. But now a charming player who doesn't, who plays the correct way, the one who plays the correct way, he wouldn't be able to do it because he doesn't have a store there. But it wasn't something that I thought about. It just my jaws just started coming out, and I couldn't do anything about it.
Well, at any rate, obviously it's work. As a final question, we'll have to relieve the anxiety of a trumpet player who asks, as a former trumpet player, I'd like to know whether you too are bothered by neighbors when you play at home.
Well, I have a basement, sort of halfway soundproof, and we're not bothered too much with neighbors. Yeah. Sometimes I have a whole band rehearsing. if we had thought of this before, if the ones the questions that we didn't answer, I could have taken these questions home, and if they had been addressed. I could have elaborated.
I'm sure you could.
If then the addresses are on there, but there are no addresses, so we don't know who sent what. And I could have written to the people and elaborated on the questions.
Well, we'll have to save some of these questions and additional questions to the next Dizzy Gillespie concert. Incidentally, this, is, as you may have noticed in the program, is the second concert in the Jazz Profile series, and so we can continue these questions for the next concert.